Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, Shift listeners. Sorry that it's a day late, but you know what? Sometimes it's been a day late so many times that maybe this is just the right day. I have a guest on Monday, but with my sister visiting, and we've been like, firstly, she's visiting and trying to show her around and be like a tour guide, obviously, but I also have to prepare for the special that's in 2.5 weeks. So I just didn't have the brain space to have like a guest over and try to figure it all out. Plus, I wanted to get in as much showing her the city as possible.
Yeah.
So that's why this is late. And Leland Long is the guest.
Here I am.
Here he is.
I'm doing it.
From the Idiots Catalog.
Yeah, that's my podcast.
That's a podcast. I didn't just like offend him. He's an idiot.
That's where I found him. The Idiots Catalog.
Yeah. We just moved in together.
Yeah, exciting.
It is exciting, especially for the OG. I mean, like, it's exciting for us, but I mean for the OG listeners, because they heard me, like, every week was just, like, another insane dating story. And now it's like, oh, I'm, like, living with someone.
We wrote 2 memes about each other right away when we moved in.
Did we? What was your meme about me?
Your meme about me was...
No, what was your meme about me?
Well, yours first, because...
Oh, okay. I don't remember either of these, by the way.
Your meme about me was moves in with boyfriend, finds spice that went out of date in 2009.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then my meme to counteract that was when girlfriend moves in, has a million clothes to put away, but first things first, has to rearrange the spice rack.
There was spice from 2009. You haven't even lived here in 2009. Did you come in and just not move anything?
No, I've moved a lot since.
No, not before we moved. Before I moved in.
Yeah.
Oh. Since not I the moved, spice.
I just didn't look at the expiration date. I didn't know spice expired.
Well, this wasn't even really spice. It was a herb. It was like bay leaf. It was gray.
Mm.
But all the spices it were expired.
It's like a fine wine.
No. No. But we've made it more girly.
Yeah. Got some nice curtains.
It's weird though, like, so I'll be like saying, everybody I've said it to has said, oh, you've made it girlier, feminine, when I've been like, oh, I've like brought in some stuff and I've changed place around, and the automatic reaction is always like, oh, you've made it more feminine. And it's like, why is like organized and clean or just associated with feminine? Not that you're ever dirty, but I mean, I have a different definition of clean. But why is that? That shouldn't be just...
I think it's because men are just generally associated with being dirty and gross.
I guess so.
And they don't give as much a shit about cleaning and...
I guess so.
Living filth.
Yeah. And put hats as decorations
all right.
On the wall.
You're getting too personal with it now.
You can talk about all my sexual preferences, but not the hats.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it'd be fun to do. Let me just turn on my laptop because I closed it and I forgot. How do you feel living with your girlfriend?
I feel great.
I mean, what a pointed question to ask, because I, as the interviewer, I am also the girlfriend. So you can be like, oh, what a huge mistake.
Imagine if that was the whole podcast, was just arguing now of me being like, no, I don't really like it. It's not for me anymore. I feel like I haven't got a, like... true sense of it yet, because you moved in
and I brought my sister
and
right
immediately
away.
Your sister came to visit, which is fine. I'm glad she's here, but and it's what we had to do because we didn't want to move while someone's visiting, because that's kind of shitty to be on vacation and have to deal with a move.
Yeah, that would be awful. That's why we did it earlier. Yeah, I didn't have to move until technically tomorrow. But yeah, we just wanted it all be ready so my sister could come and she could be in Manhattan. And then, yeah, she wouldn't have to move as well. That'd be such a shit addition to her holiday.
Yeah, so I feel like I'll get a true sense of what it's like to live together when we're actually living alone together. But
oh, I mean, so your answer is undefined? Is that what you're saying? Fuck you. Ask me next week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll follow up. Well, it's been great, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I really like it. And it's been nice, like, getting to, like, invest in the place. Because I do feel like I've only really been, like, a year or two in every apartment in New York City. And I've never really felt like investing loads. And even in the apartment me and Sam were living in, it was kind of like I really hated the landlord, and I like made my bedroom nice, but I wasn't really didn't really want to spend too much money on anything like putting up pictures or anything in the kitchen where or the living room. Whereas now with this place, like I've already bought a floating shelf, mm-hmm. and I'm like designing it, and we got curtains for the kitchen, and it's just like it feels like, oh, it's not like a waste of money or whatever.
Yeah,
because you stuck with me.
Absolutely, you're stuck with me.
Thanks. There is this thing, and it was like best relationship advice. Oh, also, I should just say there'll be no videos this because we're too tired. I'm not doing a video. So, but Patreons, I will get back to regular scheduling soon. Just, yeah, because I still have to do a solo podcast for them. And then this wasn't up a week early either, but I'm sure you guys understand because I had just had to the hard thing about trying to do a special when you're not famous is that, you know, I'm doing all like actually the last few weeks has been more promo than actually working on the material, which is very stressful for me. So like, yeah. I need to like work on the material tomorrow. Like obviously I'm working on the material when I'm doing it on stage, but like then when off stage, I'm not like writing or editing it because I'm trying to like email this person, email do that, you know. I just feel very stressed
out. It's a lot, yeah.
It's too much. I just want to make it already. So there was like best relationship advice. Just one of those Google things. Will I read this?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'll go into this one. Brides.com. Ew, should I? Maybe not that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, no, let's start with that.
Okay,
sounds
let's start
fun.
With brides. It says best.
So this is written for brides?
I guess so. It said the advice everyone in a new relationship absolutely needs to hear. Well, if you're a bride in a new relationship, you should stop because that's yeah. a bit soon. But maybe they mean because sometimes people think like when they write these articles, they're talking about like new relationship for a husband and wife. But oh, well, just brides.com. Who's reading this brides.com if you're just casually dating?
Maybe one of the bridesmaids. The bride sent this email chain all to the bridesmaids.
Yeah,
this is for you ladies.
Have you gotten butterflies at the start of a new romantic relationship? I already hate this article. All right, I'm just gonna scroll. That's not because butterflies is your gut telling you it's toxic and to get out.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is.
That's not always true.
I feel like it depends on where you come from and what background, but there's little bugs in your gut and sometimes you can get mixed up with the feelings of like excitement also as gut feeling to run.
It could also be like happy nervousness.
Yeah, that too. Just saying.
I think that's what the positive butterflies are attributed to.
Sometimes it's moths.
Yeah, okay.
Did you have moths in your stomach? Run away.
I don't think any time anyone's like, oh, I got butterflies. They're like, I need to get out of here. It's red flags.
Me?
You've left when you felt butterflies.
But I was dating. I was attracted to possessive and jealous. And
I think that you are thinking of a different thing.
You're like, you don't know words.
Yeah, because it sounds like you're thinking of the knot in your stomach. You get when
that's
you're like
similar
nervous.
To the butterflies, though. I don't think I've ever had butterflies then.
No, with me.
No, with you. It just feels very. It always felt very kind of calm at the start. I think maybe a bit nervous and not really sure, you know, what I was doing. But I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know.
I've had butterflies with you.
Thanks. Yeah, but you have a well-adjusted life. I just felt like pretty quickly. Like there'd be nervousness and there'd be situations that would feel a bit like, oh, is this like a, you know, a thing that I need to worry about or whatever. You know, when you're like first start dating, those little feelings in your stomach, or you're like, is this going to be a thing? Is this going to be an issue?
Yeah, I understand that. I think butterflies are more like excited, giddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when you're like,
I guess I would just be so nervous when I'd first start dating someone that I feel like so much more better when I'm already like in the relationship, because at the start I'm just like, how do I hold this cup or whatever? Like, maybe I read as cool and comfortable, but
I think that's kind of butterflies ish.
Okay. Because an example, horrible. That's
no,
a horrible
it's good.
Feeling.
Example I was gonna give is when we were, the first time we ever kissed when we were leaving that club,
mm-hmm.
and when we were walking, I was like, "Oh, are you feeling a vibe?" You know the story.
Yeah.
That was, I felt like butterflies in that moment.
Yeah, I was really, really drunk.
Well, I said so it could have just been dizziness.
So I could have, and I just don't remember. But you're right. And I didn't think about it. I do. I have felt butterflies with crushes where it hasn't developed into anything.
Sure, that too.
You know, where it's just like, "Ooh, excited to see them at like something," and then it just. So I guess I just don't remember, because I feel like we kind of kissed pretty much straight away. Oh, I guess I had butterflies when we were going to hang out. Yeah, I know what butterflies is.
Yeah.
Because when we were going to hang out that night and Marcella came along, and I was like, yeah, come hang out with me, my friend. And I was getting a bit of like, I fancy him. He seems nice.
Yeah.
And so I guess that was butterflies. Like a little like,
yeah, just a little like excitement. And like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but it looks like things are going in the right direction.
We're never going to get that again.
That's all right. We've moved on to bigger, better things.
I had a dream. I had two dreams the past nights that I was like having butterflies.
All the butterflies come out the first time you fart in front of each other.
Yeah. Escape.
Then they're gone for forever.
But I actually, now that we're talking about it, realizing that I had two, because I have very vivid dreams all the time, and they're usually like, world ending, or like aliens have come into different dimensions shit, like it's really vivid, like sci-fi movies.
Yeah, I know.
But I did this week have two vivid dreams where I was like starting to date someone, and now that I'm thinking about those dreams, I think I had like the excited feeling in those dreams.
You got butterflies in your dreams? Well,
I think so, because in the dream I was like excited and like flirting with the person, but in one dream I remember thinking, don't I have a boyfriend? But in the dream, I didn't have a boyfriend. But I think that was my subconscious being like, wow. This, don't even be dreaming about this shit.
Good to know you're non-monogamous in your dreams.
Well, I know. I felt a bit of guilt in the dream. My dreams are very vivid. I was happy I wasn't having a really bad...
Yeah. Sounds like a good dream.
Yeah. It's okay to kiss some other people in your dreams.
I'll quote you on that one.
It's not okay for you.
Okay.
How
quickly it changes.
Them. Yeah. One rule for you and a different rule for me. Okay. Keep the past in the past. What is this? A big mistake.
We're
for
back
people.
On the list, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I tend to not explain. I do that in stand-up sometimes. And I'm like, I'll watch the video and be like, fair play for that audience for following along.
They're like, oh, we were talking about butterflies and now we're keeping the past in the past.
Yeah. A big mistake people make when dating someone new is bring all their fears, concerns, and past negative relationship experience to the current relationship. Okay, I did that.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's really hard to expect someone not to, unless there's enough time where they're like single and work on yourself and go to therapy. But I started therapy after we're dating, so.
Yeah, that one's tough, because you just have to, like, as a human being, go off of your past experiences.
Mm-hmm. I think that is really hard, because of course, if you've dated like 5 people in a row who had commitment issues, you'll probably be looking for that in the 6th person you date. Like, well, he didn't commit to wearing his jacket all night and it's cold. Probably doesn't want a relationship. You know, you might read into like little things.
Yeah. That one's tough, because it's like you have to have experience enough dating and relationships to know that people are different.
Yes.
And if you do find someone that you vibe with and have a long relationship, then it's tough to have that experience. You know, it's like a catch-22.
Yeah, and people generalize, like, all us women will always be like, oh, all men are blah, all men are so stubborn, all men are emotionally unavailable, all men have commitment issues, which isn't true. It's just we date so many men who are like that, then it just becomes like a generalization, and then you talk like that amongst your friends. So it's probably not great.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so it can be just, yeah, it's hard not to go in there with like, you know, like first date, like what's going to be wrong, you know, looking for the red flags.
Yeah. So that one's a tricky one.
Yeah. Ugh, Brides magazine, get the fuck out of here. Brides tip, avoid interrogating your date about their past experience. Aim for engaging conversational dialogue. I love how they basically said, you know, like conversational dialogue. It's like the same thing anyway. Fuck off. That flows naturally instead of scripted line or targeting questioning. I mean, you brought like a questionnaire, so.
That was like our third date, though.
Yeah.
And I think what they're saying, at least what I interpret this is, don't talk about like past dating experiences.
Yeah, which a lot of guys do. They kind of like trauma bond with you in New York City anyway. And they'll be like, and then my ex did this and it was so hurtful. And then the woman's like, oh my God, you poor thing.
Yeah.
And then they've created this weird sort of like, I'll take care of you and I mind you and I'm your free therapist. And it's not great. I loved that you didn't. That was like, because I was trying to like not go for the same type of guy, but that was definitely on like a positive that you didn't like to really talk about your ex up top, but when it came up it wasn't like in a negative thing. It was like, oh, we were together and you know it was you know we broke up and that was kind of it, and you've never like bad-mouthed her or never really gone into too much unless I've asked.
Yeah, I think a good rule of thumb is even if it seems like it could come up in conversation, unless they ask you it's like explicitly, just don't bring it up until the second or third date.
Yeah, I also think don't ask. I hate when people ask about your exes, because like for me, I don't have a great relationship with any of my exes, or they were like not really long term in the past 8 years anyway. So it's like it's a hard one to talk about without sounding like without bitching.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do that. So I'd always just be like, well, you know, just sort of haven't had a long-term relationship in America.
Yeah. It is weird, though, too, because you want to, like, you do get curious, you know, about this new person you're seeing. And, like, it's not exactly the same as a job resume, but, like, you want to know what their experience is like.
Yeah, but then you judge them and you can't help it because it's like, oh,
but that's all of dating.
I know.
All of dating in the beginning is judging and judging and judging.
I know. It's hard, though, because it's like, oh, he's just out of a relationship. He's not going to be ready for a relationship. Oh, he hasn't had a relationship in a long time. Well, that's a red flag. Or same for the girl. Like, oh, you just have like 3-month-long relationships. Or, you know, whatever you answer. Like, it's like you just have to like get to know the person.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, second or third date is when you talk about that stuff. Yeah. Because you're also
and it can
like
be interesting and you can be nosy and but I still we're going out a year and a half, is it?
Yeah.
And I still don't know your ex's name and I forget, you said it recently but it didn't stick in my brain. But it was more just at the start I never asked because I didn't want to like fall into the trap of like going on Instagram and comparing, or because you know either it'd either be like, oh, she's hot. Well, is she, that's, you know, that's good, but that's bad, you know, because if she's not hot, that's bad as well. You know, that sort of way.
Yeah.
You don't want to, like, get into any toxic,
and
I'm a what I don't know won't hurt me type of person.
And I think that's healthy, keeping it non-personal.
Mm-hmm.
So you can talk about exes, but don't associate a name with
There's
it.
No
just have
face,
it be a faceless figure.
I think that's the best for me anyway, because even though like we're obviously so secure in our relationship now and we're living together and stuff like that, but I don't need to. I right now, if I knew her name, her first and last name, I still wouldn't Google her because. But at the start, you'd be like, well, of course I'm not gonna do that while you're typing the fucking name into Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
So it can. It's just better to kind of like abstinence. You know, it says here, don't make comparisons. It's easy to instantly start comparing your relationship to your SO. What the hell does that mean?
Significant other.
Mm.
it's easy to start comparing your relationship to your significant other.
Oh, your relationship or your significant other to other relationships or partners, but it won't do you any good and it will upset your current partner. Yeah, I guess that's like saying like, well, you know, John, I've never dated John. I'm actually related to John's, but anyway, John used to make me porridge every morning. That's really toxic. Can't be doing that.
No. And you've never done that. I don't think either one of us has ever done that. You kind of just like take each new relationship as a blank slate.
Say what you want to need.
Say what you want to need. And then you just try and fight back those preconceived notions that we talked about earlier that you gained from other dating.
And you know, I hate when people do this. And people do this not just in relationships, but I truly hate it in a relationship. But I'll give you an example. Remember I was telling you about that guy the other day when I was like, how do I do it where it's like, he's hardly going to be listening to this, so I'm sure it's fine. But when you say something to someone like, and they put an emotion on you that's not yours, and it's very like manipulative. So I don't know. I can't think of an example without telling the example that happened the other day. So I'll just have to do that. Okay. But there was a person at work clocking in, and they kind of clocked in at like a weird time, and I wasn't sure, and they meant to clock in at 5 or 6, but it was like 20 to 6. So I was like, hey, what time do you start? And they were like, okay fine, and had their hands up and started to walk out of the bar. And I was like, what? And they were like, I get it. And I was like, I don't. I was just like, I'm just asking what time do you start. And they were like, it's fine, I won't clock in, I'll wait. And I'm like, I don't care what time you clock in, if it's 5 or 6 or 20. It seems to be different every week. And I just wanted to know. I was just curious, because obviously I'll tell the nighttime bartender so that they can mark off our hours or whatever. But it's like, it's not really. I just wanted to know. Like,
yeah.
it's different each time. And are you here or are you not? And it's like, not a big deal. But this person goes, I get it because of the tips. You want me to stay. You don't want me to come in because tips. I get how bartenders are. And I'm like, I don't even do the tips. I don't give a fuck. And then he's already gone out the door. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I don't do the tips. I just literally, it's like the technicality I need to mark down when they're working. And I'd like to know I work one day a week. I'd like to know when people are coming, when the person is coming in, so I can write it down properly. But other than that, I don't divide the credit card tips. It's the nighttime person. So, but it was just annoying because they put that on me, this feeling that I didn't feel and didn't give me a chance. But I feel like people do that sometimes in relationships when they're like, act like you're annoyed or upset when you're not. Does that make sense?
No.
So I guess when someone...
I understand the example.
Like, they're being weird about something, so they're putting it on you. But it's not you. You don't think or feel that way. Like, if someone's like, you think I look bad in this dress, don't you? Because you didn't compliment me. And it's like, I never even... And then like, the girl is upset because you didn't compliment. She thinks you don't look nice in it. Am I making sense, or am I like really, really tired right now? Does this not make sense?
I think you're making a little bit of sense.
I just hate when someone puts a feeling or an emotion on you and gets like makes a big thing about it and does like okay, and you're like, I didn't even.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they kind of. I guess it's like gaslighting a bit or something.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I hate gaslighting.
We got to it. We got to the bottom
of
it.
Thank you. So don't do that.
What's the next one?
I also think like.
Oh.
Okay. Wait. Yeah, you're right. Look at actions more than words. Yeah, yeah. That's obvious. Because I always looked at your actions. And I think you need to with men, because you're not, men in general aren't the best with words. And when a man is really good with words, it kind of tends that he's not great with his actions.
Yeah.
You know, he'll promise you fucking everything under the sun, you'll first start dating. And my experience has been, they'll be like, and I've had this a couple of times, where I've had this multiple times. It's actually insane. Like, I'm such, you know, where you're like, God, I'm such a fool, because be like, I've never met anyone like you. I've never felt this like feeling so strong so quickly. And I even had one guy being like, I've been holding off sex for like a year. I wanted to wait until I met someone that I really felt a genuine connection with. And I feel like that's you. And then it turns out he like had a girlfriend and just started dating me and never broke up with her. So it was complete bullshit. Jesus. But and his actions were all terrible, do you know? And he would always apologize when he would do something. And he was all the talk, but not the fucking walk. Whereas you're not like the best with your words.
Yeah. I have moments.
Yeah, you say very sweet things, but I mean like you would say yourself, there's like certain things you would like to get work better on communication and stuff.
Yeah.
But your actions are great. Like every morning you always make me a cup of tea and toast. You always get up. So I feel very loved. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you'll like show up to things and be there. Or if like I need something, like let's say something happened and I needed the camera, you would drop it over. Like just, I know you have my back and that, you know, reliability and stuff like that.
Yeah, that guy sounds awful. The guy that's like, I've never met a woman like you before. But it's also just as bad as the guy who's the opposite. Just like, I've met plenty of women like you before. I'm not saving my sex at all.
I think it's genuine when it's after a bit of time. So like that was all those guys who said things like that to me. It was like, one guy was like talking about how like, you know, maybe we knew each other in a past life because he's never felt. And like on the train on the way over, he saw a bag for and it had a painting on it that I had messaged about in the messaging. And he was like, that's like a sign. And then like, I mean, like the thing lasted fucking 2 months.
That's pretty funny. A guy that's like, I've never met a woman like you before. And you're just like, a stranger?
Yeah. You don't know me.
Have you ever met a woman?
I know. And then like, what, an Irish person? Yeah. A foreigner.
Yeah.
But that's the thing too, it's like that happens in friendships too, you know, where people like, I think like, so not even just relationships, but if someone bonds with you really quickly, it could be nice and you feel like all this ray of like sunshine where you're like, oh, I found this friend that I'm really close to and I click with very quickly. But yeah, everybody, the best advice I feel like I've ever learned in out of that, like out of like learning from my mistakes, is take your time to get to know people. If it's A, in relationships, and B, in friendships. And like, you can have the great crack and stuff, but remember, always look at, I actually know this person a month, or I only know this person a few weeks, or it really takes time.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever told my best friends that they're my best friends. You know?
Okay, well, there we go with the words.
Well, no, I just think that that's like, you get to a point where it's kind of just known.
Oh.
And you don't have to say it explicitly.
I'm your best friend.
You're my everything.
Have you ever met a girl like me before?
No. I've never been to Ireland.
You have at Christmas.
But just like, I'm thinking about like people who are in friend situations where the person like love bombs them and is like, you're my best friend.
Yeah.
And that's like a lot of pressure.
It is. The friend situation can be a lot because I find, I don't know if it's the same in male friendships. I definitely have heard a lot of women complain about this over my life, where female friendships can get like, can be amazing and so supportive, but also can border a line of toxic when it's like too much, you know, where it's like, we're best friends, we do everything every day, and oh, you went to the coffee with Siobhan without me, and you start to become like a pair, but you're not like in a relationship, and your partner wouldn't care if you went for coffee without Siobhan. Leland was laughing at me because I really like to invite people. Like if it's like a group thing, I'll invite everybody because I never want anyone to feel left out. But when I love to have one-on-one coffee with people just to really get the chat and get the crack and get that like intimate. And I don't really have like groups of friends. I have friends in different groups, so I make like an effort to go. I have like some groups, but mainly it's friends in different groups, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you go one-on-one.
And I'll go incognito. Because I never want to like upset someone or make them feel left out. So I like won't, you know, unless it's like, sometimes I'll post an Instagram story, but for the most time I'm like, I'm off the radar, or like, cause someone might be like, hey, will you be in the city today? And I'll only have time and I've already planned. So I have to be like, I actually have plans and sorry, but then I don't want to like post and be like, well, I've chosen, but you know, I've already made. And you, so I do feel a bit, you have to be, you were saying I was like a spy, but it's not like that. I just don't want anyone ever to feel like I'm not prioritizing them either, but it's just hard to see everybody and do everything.
Yeah.
And then you see other people and they're like fucking Instagram story and every fucking, and I honestly think Instagram story events out should stop because someone by accidentally is getting left out and someone's getting FOMO. So yeah. I think we all need to put your picture of Dermot Kennedy or whatever, because that's where I was at free concert the other night. Put your picture of Dermot Kennedy and put your picture of the beach. We don't, unless it's like all your friends there, we don't need to tag them. But you know, I don't know. I feel like that would help people a lot.
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
I know, and I still do it sometimes, but like, I was just thinking there about how like people get in trouble, or like someone will message you and be like, where was my invite? And I'm like, to Starbucks? What? I just went down and got myself a coffee.
You didn't think to invite me.
And then, you know, not everybody's, and that's why it's really important to keep healthy people in your life and boundaries, yeah, yeah, and like also be okay with your friends going off and doing their own thing. And, you know, I can't believe we just totally spiraled off into that, but I feel like men don't get that as much.
We do a little bit.
Oh, you do? See, I just don't know about it.
Yeah. There's like friends that'll really like latch on and.
Oh, yeah. I remember one of your friends is like that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like him specifically was like someone who's very charming and fun.
He is not charming.
I would
Are
disagree.
We thinking of the same person?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he's the most Neanderthal person I've ever met.
That doesn't mean he's not charming. He's dumb.
Neanderthal is not charming.
Okay. All right. Agree to disagree.
Okay.
But he's just got very like toxic traits. And
by toxic traits, you mean lines of cocaine every 5 minutes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when his friends drop off one by one and there's only one left, then he really like clings on to them and
yeah,
puts a lot of pressure on them. And it's like, that's not.
No, you're okay. Right. Okay, that's interesting. I guess I've heard more women complain about it, but I also probably have just have more women in my life
over, for
the,
sure.
over the past. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And women open up more.
Yeah.
So maybe there is men and it's just they just don't open up about it or.
Hmm?
Be vulnerable. They know what I'm reading. This is my reading voice. Be vulnerable even if you're afraid. That's really important. I yeah. say that to the audience sometimes, like when I'm talking to them, I'm like, okay, like if I'm asking them a question, I'm like, be vulnerable. I'm being vulnerable up here. We're all going to be vulnerable. Then we can all laugh, you know? But yeah, I think it's really important to like say what you're, what I said earlier, say what you're insecure about and then your partner reassure and vice versa.
Yeah.
And say what you're worried about and what you're upset about and how you feel. And yeah, being vulnerable is so important. I remember having a friend and I can't remember who it was and like a friend I'm not friends with anymore, so I'm not worried about them like listening to this, just like this is when I was younger, but not wanting to say I love you to someone and like holding out because like the man should do it or whatever. But I was just like, oh, maybe if you be vulnerable, they'll be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe they're thinking the same thing. You're just at a fucking, what's it called? Stalled?
Standstill. Yeah.
Do you have anything to say on that?
No, nothing.
Do you
want to
hear the bride's tip?
Yeah, yeah. What's the bride's tip?
Show your vulnerability without feeling totally overwhelmed by sharing your personal story.
I also love this. Sorry to cut you off. I love that this list is like someone made this list and they're like, let's hear what a bride has to say about it all too, because she's got it all figured out, you know? As if marriage is the end all be all for everybody.
Bride's tip before she's divorced.
Yeah, yeah.
And it also says it's really important not to interrupt your partner when they're reading out loud. No one else. And she just says, share a personal story. No fucking duh. What other stories? You've just been sharing like the news
yeah.
for the past 4 days. How are you married? Don't embellish the truth or brag. Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. Who doesn't embellish the truth? Everybody embellish. A good story is embellishing.
I've never embellished the truth with you.
Yeah, you have. Of course you have. Everybody does. That's bragging is a huge turn off about men and women. Yeah, I mean, no one. I people don't brag in Ireland, so that's an American yeah. quality. Oh my God, I have an A from Harvard, and I.
An A.
I don't know. I don't go to fucking college over here. I have a 4.5 GPA, even though it only goes to 4.
There you go.
Yeah. And then the men are like, yeah, I'm going to fuck you all night. A guy did once say that to me.
That he's going to fuck you all night?
It's terrifying.
That is pretty terrifying. It's like, when will we sleep?
He fell asleep on top of me. So he didn't. Well,
yeah.
He didn't finish the job, but aren't you glad we could talk about these things?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that was a long time ago. That was when I was like young. It was horrific. Nobody wants to. Oh, I don't even know where men think that's attractive. I'm going to fuck you all night. Nobody wants that.
No. And you clock in, you clock out.
Yeah. You can be proud of who you are without listing all your life accomplishments. That's what she said about the bragging thing. I don't know. I think. Whatever, yeah. I don't like it when someone is like obnoxious. Yeah, it kind of comes up in casual conversation, like, oh, you know, I did really well in my degree, or but I decided to go a different route, or yeah, I'm a manager or whatever.
Yeah, I think you have to like tactfully do it. You know, if you be humble about your brags.
Don't grab the jug of water and pour it and be like, see this, I bench a million. I don't know how to speak. I have to stop using analogies where I don't understand how it works. But
I bench a million in my Harvard gym class. I got an A.
Yeah, shut up. It says stay in the moment. Remind yourself that being in a new relationship is time of discovery and curiosity. I think that's really important because we tend to fantasize a lot. Like when I was younger, I'd be in a new relationship and I'd be, we'll wrap this up soon. I'd be in a new relationship. Oh my God, I really have to because I got to get up. Oh my God. Living the dream. I'm going to get up in the morning and go all the way to Vermont. But you'd fantasize and be like, oh, well, what's it going to be like when I meet his mother? I'll bring Irish tea. And you're like on the fucking second date.
Yeah.
And so that was helpful to learn to stop doing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely. It's because hard, not only does it like...
disappoints you when that stuff doesn't work out the way that you fantasize.
Yeah, not only that, but it also distracts you from enjoying the early stages of dating.
Yeah.
And so... you're not really enjoying and living in the moment and like relishing what's happening now. You're looking way too far ahead.
Yeah.
And
living in the moment is just good for all life though, you know, just being present and
yeah,
just like when you go to fantasize, it's once you know it's just a fantasy or whatever. Anyway, my advice wasn't really anything more than what you just said there, but... It says refrain from being needy.
Mm. How do you regulate that?
I was just about to say, someone else's needy is very different to someone else's. Like, the definition of needy is very different depending on person to person. Because some people are very like, I only want to see my partner once a week. I did a guy who was like, I only saw my ex once a week for 5 years. And I was like, that's mental to me. Because I like...
yeah,
to see my partner a lot, and I like the attention, and I like the sharing, like to feel like a partnership.
Yeah, yeah.
So to them, like twice a week was needy.
Yeah.
5 years he was with his ex. That's mental to me.
I get that the like neediness isn't not a great thing, but it's like I think it's just so case by case basis.
Yeah, like be independent, have your own friends, have your own shit going on outside, like we do so many shows, so we're kind of off doing our own thing sometimes and then we come back.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you don't have shows or you're off doing your own thing, get a hobby maybe outside each other, you know, or yeah, just do something with friends, with your friend time alone sometimes. I remember when you said that, like you were like, when we first started dating, you were like, oh, what I'd love is for you to be friends with my friends and we could all hang out all the time. And I was like, that's not going to happen because they're like so much younger than me, some of them. And I do think it's nice when we do it sometimes, but it's also nice. It's like, also, you're not going to come around with the girls. So it's like nice for you to have that space.
It is. Now that we've lived it a bit, I've changed my mind. It's nicer to have two separate friend groups that we can go off to that aren't like, they won't conflict.
Yeah.
Like, we can hang out with each other's friends, but it's not like...
yeah, we can still hang out with each other's, but it's nice to have your own space and go off and then be able to come back and be like, oh, we did this and we talked about this and, like, tell each other and also be able to bitch about them.
Yeah, absolutely.
How it's different humors. Like, what me and my girls laugh about and talk about is totally different to what you and your friends. And it's like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because then we come together and we have our own humor and chats, you know?
It's also like, we're not going to break up, but I've heard horror stories of people breaking up and they had the exact same friends. And it's like, right now, what happens?
I mean, you would keep the friend if it was your friends.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I'm like, saying in the situation where you're all friends with the same people.
No, no, no. I'm just saying if it had been a thing where you had like pulled me into your friends, it just would have never worked. But
I know, but if you did get pulled in and got sucked in and became as good of friends with them as I am, then that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Because some people are in that. Some people have that sort of dynamic with their relationship.
I did have that with my ex in Ireland.
Yeah.
And so when we broke up, it was quite awkward. And, like, we worked together. And then he hung around with all my work friends and my school friends, so I kind of was just like, oh. But I had college friends, which was good, but then I really felt like I didn't have my group at home anymore, because he was just always there, and then anytime I would go out, he was just like so angry, he would cause so much drama, so it was really shit.
Yeah,
so I was like, that was one of the reasons, on top of a few, that I moved to America, because I was like, well, I can't really go out with my friends here unless I go out with my college friends, and even if I did go out in the town, like, he's just always drinking in the town, and it was just always like an issue. Or if I go into our main bar, he worked there, because I worked there as well, and he was there at work. But yeah, so we all not only worked together, had the same friend group, so it was all mixed together and lived in the same town. So yeah, it's a fucking nightmare. Yeah, but you just have to change. You just have to move to a different continent when that happens.
Yeah.
Their thing is about it. Avoid constantly texting, calling, or making demands to see your significant other, because you'll stress them out. Yeah, and I think that's... Yeah, you don't need to be calling.
I think demands at all in a relationship is a bit much.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Just demands.
Like, you have to do... But you get, like... You thought I was demanding something today, and I was like, I wasn't demanding.
I know.
So yeah. You get, like, a little sensitive with that.
I just think the word demand is aggressive.
Yeah, I'll disagree with you, because I don't think you shouldn't demand anything, like, you need to do this for me. But sometimes people need to set their standards and be like, this is what I expect in the relationship, and you need to meet me up here.
Sure.
And that could be technically classified as a demand.
I guess so, yeah.
But the person needs to not, like, be like, they just need to be like, well, if I want to be with this person, I need to do those things, or, you know, that's not my... But texting all the time and calling all the time... Like, we send each other memes and stuff, but I'm not like, how are you every fucking 5 seconds and you're not like that? That'd be exhausting.
No, yeah, it's definitely at a point where...
And just know if they don't text back, it's not... Especially when you're already in a relationship.
Yeah, and it's at the point where if I haven't responded in a couple hours, I'm not, like, worried. I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't text back.
Yeah, it's not going to be a drama or whatever. Yeah. If it's something, I'll just call, but it's not. I'm not going to keep calling. I remember one time being in the car with one of the lads back home, and him and his ex just broke up, and she called 47 times. No, they hadn't broken up yet. It was before they broke up, sorry. And she called 40, they were like about to break up, and she called 47 times in the space of like 15 minutes. And Jesus. He was like, see the shit that I'm dealing with? And I was like, how does she have the...
Stamina, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
Gotta get
That's
a thumb.
Youth. That's Got, youth
Gotta
drama.
Get a thumb cast after that.
Yeah. Don't give up time with family and friends. That's really important. Listen and stay curious. Okay, this is the last one. Listening is a skill and communication the tool. Well, even though that's fine, I agree with it. It's just a corny sentence. Most people don't do very well. Oh, I should have finished that whole sentence before I said that. I'll say it again. Listening is a skill and communication tool. Most people don't do very well. Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah, listen to each other. Ask each other. Keep checking in. You say things there.
Yeah, I definitely think that you have to, like, learn... It's like you have to learn the language of the other person every time you date someone new in order to communicate with them, you know? It's not exactly learning a new language, but you just have to figure out how to specifically communicate with that person.
Yeah, and what their words mean. Like, when I say... I'm fine, it means I'm fine.
Yeah.
Or if I say it's grand, it means it's okay. But to you, it's grand. You thought it meant like this, like, it's amazing.
It's grandiose.
Yeah. Or I'm sure if you dated someone else who said it's fine, it might mean it's not fine. Or when I say leave me alone, that means come over and give me a hug.
Yeah.
But when you say leave me alone, it means leave me alone. And it's like learning, because like, you know, some women or men will be like angry and they'll be like, don't follow me. But then they're like, why didn't they follow me?
Yeah.
Or then they'll be like, don't follow me. And someone follows them. And like, I said, leave me alone. You know, so it's just like finding out what. Yeah. Because people just mean different things or.
Yeah. And with men, it's like especially like tricky because. Like, I remember when we were early dating and you would storm off expecting me to come after you. I'm like, I don't want to. Come after her and be the creepy guy that won't leave her alone, you know?
And I stormed off for good reasons, by the way. It made me sound like a crazy person.
Yeah, you did. But it's just like, because you don't want them to walk away and be like, he wouldn't leave me alone after I left.
Yeah.
And it's like, is it that, or do you want me to come not leave you alone? So it's tough.
Yeah, or like that time when you bought the tickets for the museum on our first date, and I was like, oh, do you want me to send you the money for my ticket? Obviously just being Irish and nice. And he was like, okay. And then I was like, no, why are you saying okay? That's like, you're meant to be like, no, I got it. And you're meant to do like a whole dance. And then you were like, well, I didn't want to like offend your independence. And I'm like, I am offended now. And then you still didn't buy me the dumplings.
Yeah. But I got you tea.
Yeah. What?
You said that made up for it.
I know, but still, you could have got me dumplings as well. But it's okay. I love you.
I love you too.
Can we go?
Yeah.
Listeners, I hope that was a fun episode, and I'll upload this. And next week, there's Mo Yacoub, so it won't be early on the Patreon, but as of the week after, we'll start going early again, a week early. But the video for Mo Yacoub will be on the Patreon next week, and I'll upload a solo as well on the Patreon. It's just so much to do right now, so I gotta prepare. I got 2.5 weeks to go through that. I'm scared. Come to the special. I'm excited but stressed. Come to the special. Go get the tickets. It's on my Instagram. Okay, or I'll put it in the bio here too. Love yous. Bye.
Bye.
And Idiots Catalog. Go listen to Idiots Catalog.
Yeah, catalog spelled American way. CATALOG.
Yeah, so wrong. Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered